Yeah.
He's going to be prayed for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God.
Yes.
I want to talk for a moment to people that may not be saved today. I don't know who you are. I've met some of the people. I don't know who's saved and I don't know who's not saved. But I want to talk to those for a moment that may not be living for the Lord. And because we have certain things that happen in our lives and we think that I can't live this kind of a life. It's just, maybe it's too hard. Maybe I've tried it before and maybe things just didn't work out quite the way that I wanted them to work out. And I don't seem to be able to have what everybody else around me has. And it seems like it's so easy for everybody, all the other people, but it's not easy for me. Let me tell you, it's not easy for anybody.
Amen.
If you're doing it by yourself.
Right.
But with the Lord gives you the power and the grace to live a holy and a righteous life.
Amen.
What I've learned is that we have to yield ourselves to the Lord.
Yeah.
When we come to the conclusion that, you know what, I want to spend eternity with the Lord, I have to yield myself and I have to be willing to give up myself. I have to be willing to allow the Lord to work with me and work through me to be able to accomplish the things of having a victorious life. Also, I want to say to us that sometimes we feel like our situations are unique, and sometimes we're all like that. Those that are saved, those that are not saved. We feel like our situations are unique. Our situations are every temptation we have, every issue that we have in our life, it is common to man, the scripture says. It's common, so that you're not the only one that's going through whatever it is that you're going through.
Thank you.
Also, another encouraging thing for me is, that is encouraging to me, that the scripture says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. So the things that nobody knows about, that you were tempted about, Jesus was tempted on the same thing. But in the difference with Jesus is that He did not yield to the temptation. And what that tells me is that because Jesus didn't yield to the temptation, I don't have to yield to the temptation either. And you don't have to yield to the temptation. He gives us power. He gives us authority. He gives us whatever it is that we need to be able to stand against the powers of the enemy. I want you to be encouraged today that if the Lord is talking to your heart, today is the best time for you to give your heart to the Lord. There's not going to be a better time than today. So may the Lord help us. And I want to be I want you to be encouraged this way. It's not a scary thing. It's not something that I've got to do. You live where you are. You live where the Lord has shown you. You give the Lord yourself and the Lord will teach you. He'll lead you along the way. I want us to turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and I want to start reading at the 31st verse. It's a passage of scripture that I want to look into. I want us to delve into it because I believe it's pertinent to every one of us. One of the things that I've learned, the reason that I've been saved so many years is because of the Lord, number one. But it's also because I've looked at what Satan has done to the lives of those that are around me. Those that have not given their hearts to the Lord, when I look at their lives, and I look at the direction that it's going, and I look at where the devil has taken them, and then I look at those that have lived for the Lord, their lives is much easier. We go through trials, we go through problems, we have situations, but so do the people that don't live for the Lord. And when it comes out on the other end, we are better off living for the Lord than not living for Him. One thing that we have to know, the devil is not your friend. He don't like you. He's not a toy. You don't play with him. When you're on his territory, he is supreme. He's the prince of his territory. And what we have to understand is we need some greater authority to come against the powers of Satan. Now, this gives you a background. There are a few places in the scripture that the Lord parts the curtain and shows us what's happening in the spirit world. Things that are happening in the natural world, in the natural sense, we can see that, and we don't understand why are all these things happening to me? Why am I going through these things? Why are the hardships and the heartaches? Why does it always have to happen to me? We say that because we see it in the natural realm. But what the Lord wants to do is to part the curtains a little bit and help us to see in the background, to see what the devil is trying to do. So we start in the 31st chapter, first verse of the 22nd chapter of Luke. If you have it, read it.
And the Lord said,
Simon. Now, first of all, when someone calls your name, you remember how our mothers used to do? When she called your name and she called it twice, or she put the middle name in it, that meant I want you to stop and I want you to listen to what I'm saying, right? So the Lord is telling Simon, I want to make certain that you hear what I'm talking about. Simon, Simon.
Behold,
it's important for Simon to get a hold of this, isn't it? Behold, I want you to look. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm going to show you something that you haven't seen. It's something you may not have clearly understood. I'm going to show this to you. Simon, Simon, behold. So that's like Mama saying, Daryl, Alphaeus, Johnson, come here. Remember those days? You come here, I've got something to say to you, all right? Satan has desired to have you. And so what the Lord is saying to us, He's not only saying it to Simon, but He's saying it to us as well. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now he's wanting to just completely tear us up. He wants to tear your life up. This is why it is not beneficial for you to live for the devil. Because his whole purpose, his whole design is to sift you, to tear you up, tear your life apart, sift you as wheat. Now when you talk about wheat, when you take the wheat off the, take the grain of wheat, what happens? You grind it up and it becomes unrecognizable to what it was initially, right? And that's what the devil wants to do. Some, you know, I've seen people. Have you seen people that go down so fast when they're on the devil's territory? And they're to the point that they're unrecognizable. That's so-and-so. What happened to him? All right, Simon has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So he says here, I have prayed for you, Simon. I want you to understand, the devil has had a desire to completely tear you apart, but I have prayed for you. You know, it is a wonderful and a beneficial thing for us to have praying someone that can pray for us, isn't it? All of us, the reason that every one of us is here, without exception, somebody prayed for you. Somebody, the reason that we're saved today, the reason that anyone is saved today is because somebody prayed for them, and the Lord heard and answered that prayer. The reason you're sitting in this building right now is because somebody prayed for you. It may not be that we called out your name. We may not even have known, but there are some times that the Lord deals with us, and He just lays a burden on our heart, and we just start praying for people, don't we? We just start, Lord, have mercy on the world. Have mercy on the state of Florida. Have mercy on the state of Texas. Have mercy on the United States. Have mercy. We don't know where those prayers are going. But it's important when the Lord gives us the desire and the inclination to pray, it is important for us to pray and seek the Lord. All right, we don't know what we're praying for. Sometimes we may be praying for ourselves. Sometimes we pray for those that are closest to eternity. I don't know if I'm praying for myself. I don't know how close I am to eternity. None of us knows how close. But our job, our responsibility is to pray. But here's the interesting thing. One of the things that we have to look at is, I had a praying mother. And when my mother's gone on now, but when we needed something, we would always call her. Mama, we need you to pray for this. And we could rest assured that we can put it in our hands and the Lord was going to take care of it. Because we had confidence in the prayers of our mothers. We call the saints when we're in trouble, don't we? And we have confidence that the Lord is going to bless and hear the prayers of the saints. Yes. He does hear the prayer of the saints. Yes. The prayer of the righteous, the Lord hears it and He answers those prayers. But let me tell you, here's what we're talking about. Jesus Christ is the one that prayed for Peter, isn't He? And the scripture says, if you turn over right quick, we're going to come back to this, to John, the 17th chapter. I want to read the 20th verse here. That what it tells us is that any person that gets saved, any person that desires to live for the Lord, any person that hears the gospel message and believes the gospel message, that person, Jesus, has already prayed for you. He didn't just pray for Peter. He prayed for all of us. The Lord, in spirit, called out your name. Whatever your name is, the Lord, in spirit, while He was here on this earth, called out your name. And He said, I'm praying for that individual that is going to believe on my word through the disciples. Read the 17 and 20. John 17 and 20.
Neither pray I. For these alone.
For these alone.
But for them also.
Which shall believe on me.
Through their words.
So what that tells us in essence is that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for me. He called my name out in the Spirit. He called your name out in the Spirit. That everything that you're going to ever face, He has prayed for you that your faith fail not. You do not have to backslide. You do not have to fall. You don't have to do it. The Lord has prayed for you. And let me tell you, I'd much rather have Jesus' prayers than my mother's prayers or the saints' prayers. I want all of those things, right? But one of the things that I must cling to is that the Lord is praying for me. When you get discouraged and it seems like you're about to give up and you can't make it one step further, I want you to understand and to know that Jesus prayed for you that your faith would not fail in the midst of this test, in the midst of the temptation that you're going through. Jesus prayed for you. He's interceding there. The Holy Ghost is interceding on your behalf. He's going to the Father and He's saying, Father, pour strength in them. Give them grace. Encourage them in their heart. Help them to know that you will be with them, that they don't have to fall. They don't have to submit to the temptation. The Lord wants you to know that today. I believe that with all of my heart. So He says here that I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now I want us to go back here and I want us to look a little bit more at what Peter was dealing with. So he said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Alright? He said that thy faith fail not. But Peter failed, didn't he?
Yeah.
Peter failed. Well, what does that mean? And the Lord could have stopped Peter from failing. But Peter, as we said, Peter was very impetuous. He just did things without thinking about them. He didn't process things. And you know, the Lord allows us to go through failings in our experiences because He wants to teach us a lesson. It's something that He wants to teach us. It's something that He wants to open up our understanding. So here, as He said, Peter, this is what's going to happen. I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. Now what does that mean? He's right now, he just prayed that he wouldn't fail. But the Lord knew that he would. Alright? Now I want to say this. There is a difference. This board is so convenient. I'll write a few things on it. There is a difference between a failing and a failure. Stark difference. A failing is what Peter had. And what happens is, there are going to be those, and probably all of us that are saved today, we have had some failings, some areas in our lives that we thought we were stronger than we really are.
Yeah.
Than we really were.
Yeah.
And we failed. We scuffed our knees and we decided at that point, you know what, Lord, you're going to have to do this. Or there are others that had failed, they had failings, and they decided that I'm not going to get back up. This is just too hard. I can't do it. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. If you fall down 99 times, you have 99 failings, and you get up 100 times, you are not a failure. You're not a failure. It's okay. The Lord is saying it's okay because He said it to Peter here. Peter, you're going to fail. You think you're stronger than you are. You're going to go into some trials and some tests that you shouldn't even be around, and you're going to fail. But when you're converted, when things happen, when there is a turnaround, a conversion, when you're converted here, He's talking about conversion. Now, you're going to have to go and you're going to have to repent of some things that you did, that you thought you were stronger than you were, but now you're going to have to go and you're going to be converted. Now, the Lord is saying here, it's okay to have a failing. I want you to understand me when I say that. I don't want to have to explain it because I don't want to take up too much time. But I believe you understand what I'm saying. When you have a fail and you fall, what you have to do is you've got to get back up. Now, I want to say this, that it is not the life of a Christian that you fall every day. That's not the life of a Christian. Jesus died to give you a greater level of victory than having to sin more or less every day. You don't have to do that. God gives you power and authority to reign over sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You don't have to do it. You don't have to obey the devil. You don't have to allow the devil to touch you. But let me tell you what we do. We get ourselves on the devil's territory. And when we put ourselves on the devil's territory, the devil can do a whole lot of things with us. He really can. So he said, when thou art converted. So in other words, the Lord could have told Peter, I don't want you to go here. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to be in this kind of environment. He could have told him that. But Peter needed to learn. Some folks are hard-headed and they need to learn for themselves, don't they? So the Lord is praying for him. Listen, I don't want you to have a failure. A failure is when you just don't get back up. It's just too much. And I'm not going to get back up, and I'm not going to try. If you are a failure today, let me say, you can turn that failure into a failing and say, Lord, help me, save me again, one more time, and the Lord will do it.
Yeah.
The Lord will do it.
Yeah.
The Lord is with here today with His arms wide open, and His desire is to allow you to be not a failure, but be converted.
Amen.
All right, so He said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Where? All right. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And He said unto him, Lord, now this is Peter. Some of us are like Peter. Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Lord, I feel like I'm strong enough. I'm a good saint. I'm going to go with you to prison. I'm going to go with you to death. All right?
Yeah.
And keep going.
And he said,
I tell thee, Peter,
the cock
shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter, I'm going to tell you plainly. I want to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. I'm going to tell you about your failings. And in your mind, maybe it's a failure. But in your mind, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to put yourself in a situation and in circumstances where you're going to deny that you even know me. You're going to do it three times. You're going to do it three times before the cock crows. So Peter is saying, Lord, I know that this is not the case. I know that I'm sure Peter denied it in his own mind that that's not the case. But the Lord knew, and the Lord knows what we're about to go through and what we are dealing with. The Lord has that clarity and that understanding. So He told Peter, and what I want us to understand is that let's go to Matthew. Let's go a little further and flesh out this particular passage of Scripture. Matthew 26 and verse 55. Start there. This is Jesus. They're about to take Jesus to be tried.
Matthew 26 and 55.
In that same hour,
to the multitude,
said Jesus to the multitude,
Are you come out
against a thief
with swords
and staves
for to take me?
I sat daily with you, teaching
in the temples,
and ye laid no hold on me.
But all of this was done
that the scripture
of the prophets
might be fulfilled.
Then
all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now I want you to understand, all of his disciples are here. All his disciples forsook him and fled. Now, on one hand, we look at that and we feel like they may be cowards, right? Oh, you're going to flee and the Lord needs you. This is the time that the Lord needs you. But I want you to understand something, that Jesus, this is Jesus' trial. All right? Now let's keep reading.
And they that had laid hold,
they had laid hold on Jesus,
led him away,
Caiaphas the high priest,
where the scribes
and the elders were assembled.
But Peter followed him afar off
unto the high priest's palace,
and went in and sat
with his servants to see the end.
Now the chief priests
and the elders,
and all the council.
All right, now I'll tell you what the story is. You can read it on your own time. So all of the other disciples, they forsook him and fled when they got ready to take Jesus and bring Jesus to the trial, right? This, I want you to understand that there's something that's very important. When we go through trials, this is a literal trial, but it is a figurative trial as well. It is the figurative trial of what we go through, the trials and the testings and the temptations and the things that we go through. There are a lot of temptations in that. We won't go over that during this discourse, but one of the things that we want you to understand, Jesus had just spent hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, sweat running down his drops of blood. He had to get something for himself to be able to go through that with victory in his soul. He had to be able to not call down the angels, and he had to be able to allow the Lord to them to take his life. He gave his life. They didn't just take it from him. He literally gave it to him. He had the power to take it up. One of the things that we said, and I think we may have said it earlier, if somebody grabbed any one of us, if any of these young men, these young boys, men that have a strength, any one of them, you get three or four of them on me, it's nothing that I can do, is it? Where they can take me where they want to go, I can fight, I can do all that, but they're stronger than I am. One of them is stronger than I am. I'm an old man now. And so I didn't have to, if they wanted to do some damage to me, they could do it. But that's not so with Jesus. Jesus could have, when they came to Jesus and they came to get him in the garden, what happened with them? They fell back, didn't they? There's power in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, the Lord had to be in a place where he did not utilize the power. He had to be willing to die. Not as I will. We dealt with that, didn't we? Not as I will, but thy will be done. He had to submit his will to the Father's will and allow them to take him. So now, here is Peter following afar off. We may think that those disciples were running away and they were cowardice as a result of that, but those disciples realized and understood in their own heart and mind, I don't have what I need to be able to stand with Jesus in the midst of this. This is Jesus' trial. This is His situation, and so He's going to have to go through it by Himself. Saints, there are some times that we're going to have to go through our trials by ourselves, alone. There's nobody to go with. When Jesus was in the garden, when He was praying, that was another battle, wasn't it? He was praying, and He said, Peter, James, John, y'all come with me, and I want you to pray just 1 hour. Just pray with me. Can't you just pray with me 1 hour? They couldn't even do that. Now, how is Peter going to stand up in the hall? He's just curious about something. Do you know there's a saying that curiosity killed the cat? I don't know where that came from, but there's some truth to it. We can get ourselves into situations because we're curious. The reason that Peter failed the Lord here is because Peter was following afar off. This was Jesus' trial. It wasn't Peter's trial. It wasn't Peter's to go through or to watch. It was Peter should have been somewhere where the other disciples were praying, Lord, I just don't have what it takes to go through this. And if you'll have help me, I won't do it again. It may have been, in one sense, a failing as far as the disciples. I don't know how you would look at that. Them forsaking Him and fleeing and whatnot. But how I see that is, that was Jesus' trial. And there are some trials that we go through. There are some trials that we see that we can be in close proximity with somebody else, and that's their trial, not mine. So I'm to stay within the confines of what God has told me to stay in, right? Because I get myself into trouble when I'm trying to do something more than what I should. I tell people this, and this is one of the things as a pastor, you talk to people, and people try. If somebody's been saved for 50 years, or let's say 5 years, there are going to be some trials that person can go through that they've conquered some things. If I've been, as opposed to somebody that's been saved for 5 weeks,
that's right.
Right? And so what I say is, yes, there is somebody here that this is what the saints are supposed to do, and this is how the saints do it. Well, listen, you're not big enough to do it. You're not old enough to do it. You're not spiritually old enough to do it. We don't require these little children to do what a teenager does, do we?
That's right.
And we don't require the teenager to do what an adult does, do we? And so we have to spiritually live where we are. If we're not there, then it's okay that we're not there. And the reason that some people stumble up and they fall down is because they're trying to live an experience that somebody that's been saved for 10 years is lived. You can't live like that. You haven't been saved but 10 days. Live, save the 10 days that you're living. And as you grow, the Scripture says in one place, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, those of us that have been raised around the church of God, and we've been raised and we know what's right, we have far more knowledge than we have grace to live up to it. And this is what we have to do. Those of us that are around, we have to be very careful of what we require of other people, because this is what was required of me. We need the Lord to give, the Scripture says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. We have to allow their grace to grow with their knowledge. We've got a lot more knowledge, a lot more understanding in our heads than what we can live up to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So live where you are.
Yes.
Live where you are.
Yes.
Be where you are, spiritually speaking. If old sister so-and-so, that's how she can live, then so be it. You pray for her and you pray, Lord, I want to get to where old sister so-and-so is. I want to get there one day, but I'm not there right now. So Lord, help me to live within the confines of what you've shown me and what you've given me a clarity and an understanding to do. All right? All right. May the Lord help us. All right. We're going to go a little further here. There is another scripture. I thought about one of the things it says here, along with Peter, we've heard the term recalls, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when there's a recall on a particular car, what's the purpose of it?
To repair it.
Okay, there's a defect in it, and we've got to repair it, don't we? Because there's a recall on it. There is something that's in that car. There's a lot of those that happen from time to time. There's something in that car that was designed to live, to work under a certain level of pressure, right?
Yeah.
It was designed to work under this, and we find that it's failing under that level of pressure that it was designed to work under. So what they have to do, they've got to readjusted, that had Toyotas, had an airbag problem not too long ago, right? Remember that? Or a problem with the gas pedal going. And so they recalled all of those cars because they were not able to work under the pressure that they were supposed to work, they were designed to work in. Now, they failed under that. Here's the situation with Peter. Peter was not designed, the trial that Peter had, but that was Jesus' trial, right? And it was not designed for Peter. And so there are going to be some trials the reason that we fail is because we put ourselves in situations and circumstances that the Lord didn't give us the grace for. And so when we put ourselves, let me tell you, one of the things that we know, if you have been a drinker and you've had issues and problems in your life down through the years, don't go into a bar and try to win somebody to the Lord.
Right.
Don't go where everybody's drinking beer and vodka and wine and whatever else that they're doing. Don't go in those kind of positions because there is a weakness that you have, maybe someone else that doesn't have that kind of weakness. They can go there and they can witness to them, but don't you do it. Because you're going to fail if you do it. You're going to be around them. I've seen people many times. I tell young men, if you had a problem, and there is an attraction that a man has with a woman. The Lord put that in it. But if you've got that problem, you stay away from women. Stay away from them altogether. And you pray that the Lord gives you the woman that He wants you to have. You pray that way. Women, in the same way, you pray that the Lord gives you the man that He wants you to have. You don't need a whole lot of them. You can't handle two or three or four of them. You only need one. You do good to handle that one.
That's right.
You pray. That's right. You seek the Lord about it.
Amen.
You ask the Lord to help you to be able, Lord, I know this is my weakness, and Lord, You got the power. He has prayed for you that you don't have to fail. You don't have to fail. Well, brother, you know I'm a man, and a man is a man. I'm a man too. A man is a man. But let me tell you, a man can have victory over himself.
Amen.
He doesn't have to yield. He doesn't have to fall. Or whatever it is. You don't even have to fail with your eyes by the help and the grace of God. But Brother Darrell, that's awful hard. I know it's hard, but it's the power of God. The Lord said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I don't want you to fail in that line. And that's what's getting a lot of our young men. May the Lord help us. You got a... I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, but you got a baby here, all that, okay, so you did that, alright? Now the Lord can take that and the Lord can help you to be the father that you need to be to your children.
That's right.
He can help you to be an example. It doesn't matter that you don't see him but every other weekend, whatever the case may be. The Lord, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else about this, see, because it's in the Bible. You know where Jesus came from? Jesus' family was a dysfunctional family. He came from the lineage of Israel. You remember what Israel? Israel, there was like with Jacob. Do you know how many baby mamas Jacob had?
Come on now.
Four. And any time you put four women with their babies, you're going to have some problems.
Right.
This is why you have problems with baby mamas. But this is when Jacob prayed and he sought the Lord and the Lord changed him from Jacob to Israel. Let me tell you, that's the lineage. That dysfunction is the lineage that Jesus came out of. Isn't that wonderful? So the Lord can use whatever situation you're in. I have no idea what situations anybody is in. I have no idea. So if the Lord is talking to you about this, I want you to know and understand that the Lord can make it right in your life, whatever the situation may be. The Lord can make it right in your life. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe it too. All right.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. You know what I believe a preacher of the gospel is? The gospel is meets us where we are. It's not above. I mean, we're not preaching something way up here. And the Lord has a solution for every problem. So when you preach the gospel, you got to preach where we live, don't you? You got to preach where we are. You got to preach and you have to ask the Lord to help us to get to the place that the Lord wants us to get to. So again, we go back to Peter. So there was this failure that Peter was not in the place that the Lord wanted him to be. Peter was somewhere where he shouldn't have been, and therefore he failed the Lord as a result of that. All right, I want us to go a little further here. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Have it read it for us, please.
Blessed
be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope
by the resurrection of Jesus
by the resurrection of Jesus Christ
from the dead.
Isn't that wonderful? He's begotten us again into a lively hope. It's not just something dead, but it's something alive, all right?
Yes.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away.
Reserved
in heaven for you. You know what? I've been gone for a little while. I'm getting ready to go home today, aren't I? And you know, there's a reservation there with Southwest Airlines, a reservation with my name on it. But let me tell you what's not going to happen. The airplane is not going to come and drive up here and pick me up, is it?
Right.
I'm going to have to go where the reservation is, aren't I?
Right.
In the same way, you know, sometimes heaven does come down, doesn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes heaven does come down. But in essence, what we're talking about here is that there is a reservation in heaven for you.
Yes.
And you've got to go get it. You've got to go there to get it.
Yes.
There's a reservation with your name on it. There's a mansion with your name on it. There is a crown with your name on it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is I must do to gain that heavenly home. Lord, help us. All right? Continue to read, please.
Reserved in heaven for you.
Yes.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation,
ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. Now, this is an interesting point for us to get a hold of, because when we're kept by the power of God, that's some great power. The Lord spoke the world into existence, and gravity and things that are visible, things that are invisible, that's what's keeping the world going. And if God has the power to keep the world going, He's got the power to keep me going in the way that He would have me to go. He's got power to hold on. I can hold on. I can be a true saint of God no matter what I face, no matter what I come against. I can be the man of God that God wants me to be. Even among temptation, the things that I used to do, we sang the song, don't turn around to the things you left behind. Don't turn around. All those bridges you burned when you got saved, leave them there. Leave them burned. Don't try to find them. Don't try to rebuild them. You've got something greater. There, heaven is where we're started, and we can go there by the grace of God. All of us. Every one of us can go there. Isn't that wonderful? All right. All right. So it says here we're kept by the power of God through faith. So we've got to have faith to know that God can keep us.
Yes.
We've got to have faith to know that Jesus prayed for me.
Yes.
He prayed for me that my faith would not fail. All right? Read, please.
Ready to be revealed in the last time.
Ye greatly rejoice.
Though now for a season.
If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. So how does the Lord try our faith? He tries our faith by allowing us to go through temptations, just like He allowed Peter to go through temptations. All right? He tries our faith. The trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. All right? Read.
Whom having not seen, ye love.
In whom though now you see him not,
yet believing.
The trial I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Do you still believe that you don't have to fail? You don't have to have a failure. You don't have to do that, all right?
Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That's why it's important for us to have faith. There's another scripture that says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now that He is the same as I am. We talked about that a little bit the other night, didn't we? That the Lord is. He's whatever it is that I need. He's the power that I need. He's the victory that I need. He is my victory. Whatever it is that I need to be victorious in this life, that's what God is. And the only way for me to know that is through faith. That I have to believe it. I've got to believe, Lord, I don't have to fail no matter how hard this comes against me, no matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter what circumstances I'm in, as long as I'm in the circumstances that You have designed and devised for me, I don't have to fail, do I? I thank the Lord for that. Alright? Alright. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So what's the end result of your faith? The end result of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Thank the Lord for that. First Peter 4, verse 12.
Beloved,
think it not strange
concerning the fiery trial
which is to try you
as though some strange thing happened.
Do you ever think about the trials that you're going through? This is kind of weird. This is strange to me. Why am I having to do this? Why am I having to go through this? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
But rejoice.
Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering.
That when his glory shall be revealed.
When his glory shall be revealed.
Ye may be glad also.
With exceeding joy. All right, read.
If you be reproached for the name of Christ.
You be reproached for the name of Christ.
Happy are
ye.
The Spirit of glory and of God
resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of.
On your part
he is glorified. All right. So it says here, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. You know what? Faith that is not tried really isn't faith. It's got to be tried. And a faith that is tried, the Lord is not going to bring about situations and circumstances that are so great and grand that every time you face him, you just gotta fall. The only option that I have is to fall. He said he would always make a way of escape.
Right.
There would always be a little door. What I've learned in my experience and what I've learned in dealing with other people down through the years is that the Lord always gives before you have to do something, before you make a choice to go in a different direction. The Lord always gives this little reprieve, this little, I say, for lack of a better word, a neutral zone where the devil can't touch you and the Lord is not going to touch you either. You've got to make the decision according to your own mind and your own will. So if you decide that I'm going to go with the Lord and I'm going to make my will be His will in this manner, the Lord will empower you at that moment that you can resist that temptation.
Amen.
So the devil can't touch you. So here we are. The Lord wants us to understand that I have prayed for you. The Lord prayed for you. The Lord called your name. The Lord said, I don't want your faith to fail. I don't want you to get into a place that you feel like the only option that I have is to sin. That's all I can do. You'll never be in that kind of a place.
Thank the Lord.
You'll never be in that kind of a place. It's always your choice as to what you do. May the Lord help us. And I'm coming close to the end of the discourse here. I don't want to hold you too long. May the Lord help us. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11.
1 Corinthians 3, verse 11.
Yes.
For
other foundation
can no man lay
than that is laid,
which is Jesus Christ.
If any man build upon this foundation,
gold,
silver,
precious stone,
wood,
hay,
stubble,
every man's
work
shall be
made manifest,
for the day
shall declare it,
because
it shall be revealed by fire,
and the fire
shall try
every man's work
what sort it is. So it says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We need to be on the foundation of Jesus Christ, don't we? It's not the foundation of my mother's prayers and all this. It's not the foundation on what I know. It's the foundation of the Word of God. We can stand on the Word of God. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you are on life's way, you can stand on the Word of God. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon this foundation, you have a choice as to what you build on that foundation, don't you? That's your choice. Nobody's going to force you to do it. Well, you got to do it like this and you got to do it like that. Lord, help us not to do that. But we can encourage you and we can tell you what to do and we can encourage you in a certain way that the Lord wants you to go in. But what it says is every man's work shall be made manifest for the day. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, haste, you can choose what you want to build. I want to build something that's going to last. I want to build something that's going to, like the old folks used to say back in the old days. Remember how they used to say, the judgment shock?
Mm-hmm.
It'll stand the judgment shock?
Yes.
The Lord is coming. The
yes.
Lord is coming.
Yes.
And it's coming shortly. I believe that when you look at the Scripture, you can see that all of them, from my perspective, have been fulfilled.
Yes.
And so the Lord is just being long-suffering to us right now.
Yes.
And so we're supposed to be in the place, just hold on, saints, hold on.
Yes.
You don't have to give up.
Help.
If you're saved today, let me tell you, I believe any pastor, any saint would say this. If you've got a call every day, this is what I tell folks, if you've got to go come to the altar every time you come to church, or if you have to call me every day, until you get the rooted down in the Lord, you call every day.
Thank the Lord.
You go through the trials. If you need somebody to help you through it. Now, what we don't want to do, we can't be picking up babies and carrying them, and you're old enough to walk on your own. That gets tiring, doesn't it?
Yes.
But what I'm saying, you're a baby and you're going through some things and you need somebody to pray with you and pray for you. What I want to encourage you, you find somebody that's willing to pray for you and pray with you. And also remember this. Remember, this is a fact. Jesus prayed for you. He called your name out in the Spirit. He said, I don't want them to fail. When they give their heart to the Lord, I don't want them to fail. And He knows that there are going to be some people that are going to have some failings, just like Peter did. But let me tell you, Peter got back up. He dusted himself off. He went out and repented. And he said, Lord, by the grace of God, have mercy on me. He wept bitterly, the Scripture says, didn't he? I'm going to be converted. That's not going to happen again. Lord, by your grace, it's not going to happen again. Peter learned a lesson, didn't he?
Yes.
And not only did Peter learn a lesson, but I believe that when Scripture says that when the cock crow, Peter, the first time that he said, no, I don't know him, and then he started cussing, and he started, this is a disciple of Christ.
Yes.
They didn't have the power of God. The Holy Ghost hadn't come. I want us to understand, the Holy Ghost hadn't come yet.
Right.
All right? So now you don't see that happening when Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had the power to resist the devil. He had power to resist the temptation. You're going to have power to resist it as well. Isn't that wonderful? So the first time Peter denied the Lord, the second time he denied the Lord, nothing happened. The cock didn't crow. But then there was this anchor, you might say, that when he denied him the third time, and immediately the cock crew crowed, and Peter remembered. It said that Peter remembered what the Lord said. There are sometimes we do things and we don't even think about it. This is why I say Peter was one of those kinds of individuals. And then there was this anchor of a rooster that's crowing, and Peter all of a sudden said, "Oh no, what did I do? I just denied the Lord. I just failed. Now, what do I do? I've done it three times. He told me that I was going to do it, and I fail. I fail in the Lord. Now, what am I going to do with it? Am I just going to stay down on the ground and wallow in self-pity and say, I just can't do it? It's too hard. The Lord shouldn't have put me in this kind of situation in the first place. Or am I going to get up and I'm going to say, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He went and he wept bitterly.
Yes.
And the Lord redeemed, and the Lord already told him, you're going to backslide, you might say, and you're going to get saved. You're going to be converted. That's what salvation means. That's what repentance means. You're going to be converted from what you were to what I want you to be. And I'm going to allow you to go to this. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go to these failings for our benefit. For our benefit. That's the only way to learn. There's some people that the way that they learn is by having hard knocks. Some people, you can talk to them and you can tell them, don't do that. If you do that again, this is what's going to happen to you. And they do it again. And then they have we do that with our children. All right, that's the first time. Don't do that again. And what you have, some little hard-headed boys. I had a son. I was a son. I was hard-headed. You don't do that again. What the old folks used to say? Oh, you don't believe fat meat's greasy. Remember what the old folks used to say about that? You don't believe fat meat's greasy. And so what we're going to do, the next time you do that, you're going to get a whipping.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord does the same thing to us, doesn't He? He does the same thing to us.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
so what I want to leave us with here, there's a lot more, but I feel like this is probably good enough. I want to read one other scripture, Job 23. Let's go Job 23 verse 8. Job 23 verse 8.
Behold.
Behold.
I go forward.
This is Job. Job went through some very difficult things.
Yes.
This is another scene. This is another scene that where the Lord opens the curtain.
Yes.
Opens the curtain and lets us see in the background what's going on. Now, all the things that happened to Job, it seems like they were just natural occurrences. Someone stole his animals. A big wind came and tore down his house with his children in it, and all his children died. He had a sickness over his body. He had boils and whatnot, but this was not a natural occurrence. This was the devil. This is showing us, going with what Peter was saying, the Lord was saying to Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. He wanted to utterly destroy Job. He went to the full length of what Christ would allow him to go through. He said, just don't take his life. You can have everything else. And let me tell you what the devil did. The devil took everything but his life. Took his wife, took his children, took his health, took everything, his wealth, everything that he had. The devil took everything. Now that shows us what kind of character the devil has, doesn't it?
Right.
right.
And then it goes on in the New Testament when he says to Peter, the devil wants to do the same thing to you, Peter, that he did to Job. He wants to destroy you, but I prayed for you that your faith will stand the test. And so here is Peter, here is Job now going through it, and he's saying, read.
Behold,
I go forward. Lord, I don't know where you are. I go forward.
But he is not
there. Not there.
And backward.
I go backward.
But I cannot perceive him. On the left hand.
I go to the left.
Where he does work.
I know he's always there, but what's happening, Lord?
I cannot behold him.
He hides himself. From the right hand.
That I cannot see him.
I cannot see him. So now Job is in a fix, isn't he? His faith is being tested and tried. He goes forward, he goes back, he goes to the right, where the Lord always works. He goes to the left, where he knows the Lord's going to be. And the Lord's not there. He's hiding himself. Sometimes the Lord does that for our faith. Amen. To test our faith. All right? Read.
But he knows the way that
he knows the way that I take. He said, we're kept by what? By the power of God through faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Ready to be revealed when the Lord wants to reveal it. But we've got to hold on. One of the innate ingredients to faith is you can't see it. Right? You got to have patience. You believe the Lord's going to take you through it?
Yes.
You're going to have patience for the Lord to take you through it. All right? Read.
He knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth.
As gold. Now he said, all right, I don't know when this is all going to be over. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I know what I'm going to do in the midst of it. When He's done with me, I'm going to come forth as gold, pure gold. The Lord is purging this man, and this man was much better in the end than he was in the beginning. We can be the same way, can't we? May the Lord help us that our faith fail not, that we don't give up, that we be encouraged by what God is able to do. And we be encouraged by the fact. It is not just a hearsay. It is not just some fictional thing that we want to talk about. But the Lord prayed for you. It's not just that your brother and the saints and those of you are godly praying for you. But the Holy Ghost is praying for you as well.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost, the Scripture says, is making intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be making intercessions for us according to the will of God. And we know that it's God's will for us to go through every trial, every test with victory in our soul. We can do it by the help and the grace of God. We can do it. You can make it. You can make it. The first thing I want to say to you, if you feel like, Brother Darrell, I've tried and it's just too hard. Live where you are.
Yes, that's right.
Just the things that, you know, the only thing that God really requires, and you know, folks want to measure you up and all that kind of thing, that comes in time.
Yes.
But the Lord does it, doesn't he?
Yes.
It's not something that I need to tell you. And I'm a pastor. I don't go around measuring folks up and tell them this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do. Unless the Holy Ghost gives me the clarity and the understanding that this is the time. That person doesn't quite know what to do. You sit down and you talk to them. When the Lord is ready for you, I think that you should start doing it. And there have been some things. There have been some things that you don't even have to say. Just let the Lord work it out.
Amen.
Just let the Lord work it out. I remember one time, there was a person that was in adultery. And I'm about ready to sit down here. I want to tell you the story. A person that was literally in adultery. And she'd gotten saved. And I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to say? How am I going to deal with this? And I felt like the Lord said, don't touch it. Don't say nothing. And I didn't. I just prayed in the background. They had come from marital counsel, which makes it even worse. Come from marital counsel, and I gave them counsel that you would give a couple that's not in adultery. At this time, I didn't know. But they kept coming. And as they kept coming, I said, Lord, how do I handle this? And the sister said, you know what? The closer I get to the Lord, the further away I get from my husband. I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. And she said, it's just like I don't want him to be in the room with her. I don't want to touch her. And the Lord took care of it, didn't he? I didn't have to. There are going to be some things that you're not going to have to take care of. That's the Lord's business. And I'm not going to jump into a trial that ain't none of mine.
That's right.
I'm not going to jump into something that don't belong to me. That's the Lord's trial. Lord, I'm just a servant. You just tell me what to do. That's all that I do. And there are other things that we have to understand. There was some person that was trying, you know, they got saved. And I'll tell you another story. This is why I think it's important for us to live where we are. And when I say live where you are, if you don't have the faith to trust the Lord for a certain thing, then you live where you are. this person here, this individual had gotten saved, had recently gotten saved, and they'd seen some really solid saints that had been saved for 40 years. And they were trying to dress like him and trying to walk like him and trying to hold their Bible like him. And then they come into me and they're struggling with all kinds of things. I said, that ain't where you are.
That's right.
It's not where you are. You have the knowledge of where you want to be, but it's like a little child. A little child trying to, they play dress up. That's cute, isn't it? Put on your mama's shoes and put on the mama's hat and all this kind of thing, and they think that they're grown. In their mind, when you look at them, they think they're grown, and they look good, don't they?
Yeah.
But you think it's cute.
They can't fit it.
And so we do that sometimes. And if we do that, if we put ourselves in those kinds of places, we will fail. We're setting ourselves up for failure. Put your own little shoes on. They're ain't as cute as mama's. But at some point, you keep growing, you're going to outgrow mama. You're going to be taller than she is. And you're going to have your own shoes. You're going to have your own situation. And you're going to be able to deal with it. There are some things that we don't tell children when they're real little, is it? Because they can't handle it. They don't understand it. And so we don't tell them that. And we don't require things of it. But let me tell you, we don't require of this little child what we require of these. The bigger ones. We don't require of the teenagers what we require. Let me tell you, it's okay for a teenager. All he's doing is going out and raking the yard and taking out the trash and washing the dishes while he's in the 10th grade. But let me get a 25 or 26-year-old. You need to go get a job. I'm not going to feed you. You need to go get a job. You need to do something on your own because there is an expectation. They may be the same size, but there is a responsibility that I have as a parent to take care of my teenage son. I don't have a responsibility to take care of my 25, 26-year-old son. That's not my responsibility. It's to help him. It's to help him to become a man and help him to get out and do what he needs to do. Because if I let him stay in the house and take care of him, he is going to be
a failure.
Teach him how to work. Teach him how to work. Teach the women how to work. Teach the girls how to take care of a house. The scripture says, now see, I'm getting in a whole bunch of stuff. You see, my Bible is closed. I'm supposed to be finished. But my Bible is closed. Mothers, the scripture says, teach your women how to take care of a house and how to love their husband. Some husbands are difficult to love. They're going to be hard to love because of who they are, what they are, what their background was, or whatever it may be. You teach them how to love their husbands. That's something that they're going to learn from you. Lord, help us. These are the things that what you're going to have when your daughter is grown and you haven't taught your boy, you haven't taught your girl, you're going to have a failed marriage. And let me tell you, I know that's difficult. As I said, and it's not all, I don't want to blame anybody. Because there are some things that the Lord wants us to learn. And the Lord takes us through to teach us these things. And I want us to understand there may be someone in these kinds of places. And I want you to understand that I'm not downing you. I know that there are some people, maybe you wanted to make it work, but somebody else didn't want to make it work. And I can't deal with that. But let me encourage you this way. I can't touch on that and say this is what you should or shouldn't do, but I can tell you this much. You pray and you seek the Lord. Let me tell you what I've seen the Lord do. I've seen the Lord put back marriages together.
Amen.
That you thought, oh, there is no way that that's going to happen.
Amen.
And the Lord has put it back together.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to have nothing to do with him no more. I don't want to have nothing to do with him no more. Are you sure? Let me tell you something else that I've learned. I've learned that ain't really true.
That's right.
You love that man.
That's
you love
right.
that woman.
That's right.
And don't let everybody else tell you they don't love them. And when some girl, I wouldn't let him do that to me. Well, he ain't your husband.
That's right. Amen.
No, you wouldn't let him do it to you. I wouldn't let him do it to you either. Because you ain't none of his husband. But you don't have any right to tell somebody else not to let him do it to them. And that may be what the Lord wants them to go through in order to win that individual. That's just some common, sensible teaching, isn't it? According to the scripture. And the Lord has prayed for you that your marriage not fail. The Lord has prayed for you that if you give your heart to him, everything that has anything to do with you will be a success if you trust the Lord for it. The Lord has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Lord, help us. This is what the Lord wants to do for you, and this is what the Lord wants to do for me. You don't have to fail. your faith doesn't have to fail. So, well, I just can't take it in, Brother Darrell. My faith is failing, and I just can't take it. Well, the Lord's praying for you. You get down on your knees. You go to your Garden of Gethsemane somewhere, and you get by yourself, and you beg the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm dependent on you. I cannot do this in and of myself. And if you'll help me, Lord, I'll do it. I'll submit myself to you. I'll submit myself to anyone, and I'll follow it. That's the hard part, saints. But the easy part is when we come out over on the other side, your faith is going to be tried. It is going to be tried. Trying of your faith is inevitable. It will happen. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to get there by tried faith. Failure doesn't have to happen. You do not have to be a failure. If you do it, if you fall 99, and this is what I tell people, you fall 99 times and you get up 100 times, you are a success. But if you fall 99 times and you get up 98, you are a failure. You don't have to fail. Just keep getting up. Dust yourself off like Peter did. Dust yourself off and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, all right, Lord, give me the grace of God. Give me the power of God. And I can go through this by your help, by your power.
Help me, Lord.
May the Lord help us. Pray for me.
Thank you, Lord.
We certainly appreciate the Word of God.
Morning.
And there's a lot there.
Amen.
There was a lot in that. And if we take this in,